conspiracy of silence regarding vaccine damage with my guest Sally Alcordi. And this black hole goes so deep. I encourage all of you to listen to my show next Sunday, where my guest will be an investigative journalist from the UK, Christina England. She's actually found a link to Hallmark and other places, other people, you know, sending out cards to their newborns, encouraging them to get vaccines. And they have a piece of this pie, investing in vaccines as well. It goes so deep, it's just mind-boggling. But go ahead, Sally.
Well, just in regard to Christina England, if I may, she put out an article about the fact that the AMA is requiring everybody to have vaccine tests upon them unless they get an opt-out form. Who is the AMA? Who put them in charge? So you have to check out that article by her, because it really will. However, just in conclusion, in regard to going across New York State, finally we did find a place at the University of Buffalo, and as it turns out, when we got there, we found out the person who was booking the room was disabled. That's what it took to get a space, okay? But regardless, you and I have our ear to the ground, and neither of us knew that these anthrax meetings were occurring. So we find out at the 11th hour, and in conclusion, one of the two other things that they were not going to reveal, one of the things that were not going to reveal to parents who were going to agree to have their children tested were incidental findings. What are incidental findings? They are deaths. So from previous tests. So they don't have to report to the people they're trying to coerce that other children have died, basically. But I love their terminology for it, incidental findings. And then also they, there was another point I wanted to make. Oh, yes, the fact that they were saying that, you know, when we have to involve the public, well, this was their last day of it, and they were kind of diminishing that aspect. You know, a few people, whatever. I'm like, what are you, on the way into these meetings, you're pulling in the security guard and he's representing for us, you know, or maybe somebody's daughter or something. So this whole thing has been conducted on the silent, completely without the knowledge of the public. And so their findings, first of all, the members of the military were present. There was a very good assortment of different colors and ethnicities represented on this panel. But at the end of the day, nobody said, it's anthrax, these are babies, are you crazy, you know? So nobody ever said that. They didn't even mention the word anthrax. So there you go.
Wait, and I have to ask you this question, because by the time you told me about this, I was not even able to access, you know, that a video to even watch it. It had already been taken down. How can they have a hearing with a bioethics committee to discuss experimenting on children with the anthrax vaccine without mentioning anthrax? What did they mention?
Well, they did mention it in the wrap-up at the end. The word anthrax was used. And,
okay,
of course, you and I weren't privy to the many, many other meetings they had, and who knows for how many years, because I know that this was being called for as far back as 2010. So all I can say is this: it has been written about. I have the articles that it was written about in, but they never said in these articles that they were proceeding to hold these meetings. So as I say, here we are with our ears to the ground in terms of everything vaccine, and neither you nor I knew about it till the 11th hour.
Right. As intended by the psychopath. Okay, there's that music again. We're going to a break. We'll be back after these messages. Stay tuned, folks. Interestingly, I got dropped from Skype, and I couldn't call back to the station. But we're back on. Are you there, Sally?
I'm right here, yes.
Okay. One thing I just wanted to mention, because you brought up the churches. I live in the Bible Belt here in North Carolina, and there are so many churches that are actually having vaccine clinics in the church. And, you know, I've confronted them. Did you know that vaccines are grown on aborted fetuses and things of that nature? And they're not interested in listening. So,
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because when I heard that the incidence of miscarriages had risen, at that point it was only 700%, and the National Council on Organized Women has established that it's 4,250% increase in miscarriages related to the H1N1 vaccine in pregnant women. But at the time, it was 700% that we knew of. And I had reached out to the Right to Life community to say, will you please help in this fight? And I had gone to clearinghouses of Right to Life organizations, to individual Right to Life organizations, and I had set up meetings. I had invited them to them. I had asked them to get involved with this, and they never did. And I just thought that this is such hypocrisy. How can you possibly care about, I mean, the issue they were willing to address was the fetal tissue within it. So they were willing to address that, but I said, this miscarriages are being caused by the pharmaceutical industry. How can you turn a blind eye if you are pro-life? I don't get it.
Right. And the answer is because they're 501c3s, and they know that they cannot continue that status if they speak out against anything that the government promotes. So that's the answer to that one.
I could not. They actually, I talked to individuals who said that they would get active, you know, not just organizations. And they never showed up at any of these meetings.
Okay. So is there anything else you wanted to report to the listeners in regards to your meeting with the assistant to Representative Posey? And I just want to mention, it's really interesting. I lived in Melbourne, Florida from 2005 to 2007, and I had actually contacted the office of Representative Weldon myself, and he had no interest, or his staff, you know, in meeting with me. So it's amazing to me that the same chief of staff is now working for Representative Posey. I hope that he will infuse him with some information, because you know, even Posey is talking about the mercury. There's so many mercury causes autism disinformers. And worse yet, pretty much all of them were saying they're not against vaccines. How can you not be against vaccines? There's been no study to compare vaccinated to unvaccinated children. That in itself is such a huge red flag. Why not? We know the answer, because the unvaccinated children will be shown to have pretty much no autoimmune diseases, non-traumatic seizures, cancer, or genetic damage. And that is why they haven't done the study. And that's so obvious. Go ahead.
Well, there was a study done in Germany, which I brought with me to this meeting, that he was really happy to receive, that said that unvaccinated children, that vaccinated children have up to 5 times the diseases as unvaccinated. And I was speaking to a woman from the Thinking Moms Revolution, and she gave me a statistic that kind of rocked my world, although nothing surprises me when you know what they're doing to our kids. She was saying that 1 in 2 children have a chronic illness now. Mm-hmm. 1 in 2 children have a chronic illness.
Right. Right. And the other, and the one out of the two that don't have one will get one if they keep getting vaccinated. And it's so obvious to me that that's the intention, is to create disease, because, of course, that's how Big Pharma makes all their money, to manage the disease after it's created. And that's why they talk about pre-existing conditions, because Big Pharma cures nothing. And where did those pre-existing conditions come from? Vaccinations and pharmaceutical drugs used to manage them as well. And this is so obvious to me as my 16 years of research. I mean, I have so much documentation of this that that's why I can't get my book done, because it's going to be an encyclopedia. But how did it all end up after your meeting was over? Did you feel that they were going to actually do something? What was your take on the whole meeting?
I felt that they were looking to. I've never had anybody shake my hand with such. Beyond happy to meet you. Like, thank God we are together now on this mission. Okay.
Okay.
This was the most remarkable meeting. I really was so taken aback by the reception, the interest, the wanting to know how things are different, how we could now present it in a different way, in a different light, such that people would now understand. And, you know, how can we affect this is what he wanted to know. And that's luckily what I came armed to present. And so there was a meeting of the minds, the likes of which I have not ever had with a complete stranger. And just nothing as I could not have been more thunderstruck by the outcome of this. And everything that I had to contend with leading up to it was certainly worthwhile, knowing that now we send them the bill, banned vaccine 2013, this year. And as you know, Rebecca, our three, it's no longer just reality-based the way it was previously. It is, we are bringing forth the ingredients, 100% poison, 100% banned. We are bringing forth the diseases that result from vaccination. And we are bringing forth, I have a four part of intent to cause harm. So there's just nothing, they can go with any one of them or all three of them, but any of them are reason enough to ban vaccine.
Well, I totally agree, and I just want to mention that the interview that you sent me with Dr. Paul Offit, who I consider my arch enemy, the vaccination promoter at CHOP. And, of course, he's got a major conflict of interest because he's developed the rotavirus vaccine. And when questioned in this interview by two parents of an autistic child, of course, he refuses to debate anyone else, any doctors. He will not debate any doctors, including myself, in regards to this issue. But one of the amazing things, as he said, was that the increased incidence of autism is due to increased diagnosis, which I've heard that many times. But he actually stated that he can remember in grade school two children that would probably be labeled autistic today if, you know, the diagnosis criteria was out there. And, you know, this is what they always come up with. It's all due to increased diagnosis. What a bunch of crap. I mean, you know, they went from 1 in 10,000 cases to now, I don't even know what the true incidence is.
Oh, he went on to say, like the CDC and the NIH, I'm not a vaccine expert. He actually said that during the interview.
Right. Well, he said he's not an autism expert. But the joke is that they're continually saying it's because of increased diagnosis. I mean, at this point, in my opinion, any child that's vaccined or vaccinated, there are going to develop a chronic disease because, you know, that's my message. It's not just autism. It's insulin-dependent diabetes. It's renal failure. It's juvenile arthritis. The list is endless. The only reason they're concentrating on autism is because parents of the autistic children are very vocal. They saw their normal child become autistic after the MMR vaccine, which, by the way, has never had mercury, and so they have to make up some excuse, and that's all they can come up with. Oh, there's an increased diagnosis. And I know that people are waking up, and I'm very happy about that. I've been doing this for 16 years, waiting for that moment. I don't know what the tipping point is going to be, but certainly I'm sure that Representative Posey is going to start having chest pain and things of that nature if he really pushes this, because even though he did, you know, do what he did, he still said that he's not against vaccine. They are afraid to go against vaccine. The reason is us. Okay, there's music. We'll be right back. And we're back with Blood Sailing America with my special guest today, Sally O'Cordy. Go ahead, Sally. Take it wherever you'd like to go. We were talking about where do you think this is going to lead your major, you know, sacrifice to go to the District of Criminals to talk to this person.
We have to talk about the District of Criminals because there was nothing but security. There were no tourists. There were no people. There were just no people anywhere. The three cars that we saw on the road were pulled over by police. There's security everywhere. Right. You can't make a turn anywhere. If you aren't on the correct road, you will not be able to turn into the correct road. You will have to go for a very long way before you can turn around and get to the correct road because everything is blocked off. As I left the Cannon office building, I don't know if this is typical, but I know that when I lived in Washington, which I did for 5 years and have visited every year since, so I can tell you that no people in Georgetown at night is beyond peculiar. No tourists on the mall, just an empty mall. And the Congress was in session, and so was the Senate and the House were both in session. I'm just saying that this is a ghost town, and it is filled with security, which, quite frankly, as I said, as I left the Cannon office building, there was a fellow standing outside in a black, all-black, with a 3.5 or 4 foot long rifle. And I'm like, gee, is that for me, you know? There were no homeless in Washington. Every single block, I could never walk a block in Washington without having to share part of my wealth with someone. And they weren't there either. So there's nobody in Washington except security, and the three cars on the road that we saw beyond our own were pulled over by police.
Wait, I wanted to ask you, what did you have to go through to even get in the building?
Well, I don't know, we never got to the entrance that I was supposed to go in because we couldn't keep driving around. I was, at that point, I had made several phone calls to say, I'm going to be late. I'm going to be later than I thought I was going to be late, you know, because I couldn't get to where the building was. So finally I just said to my husband, drop me off and I'll just walk there, you know. So in order to get into the building, it was not a huge ordeal. I just put my bag through the thing and walked through an upright machine that beeps if you're wearing metal. I was wearing metal. I was wearing the
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. So you had to go through the TSA scanner, basically.
No, not the scanner. Not where you have to put your hands behind your head and show them your full naked body. No.
Oh, okay.
Just the old airport kind of security.
Right.
The
okay.
Previous airport. Right. And believe me, I would only do the full body naked to stop taxing. Believe me, that would be the only reason I would do that. But they didn't have that challenge for me. So, I just went in and, asked where his office was and was pointed in the wrong direction and eventually found it regardless. So I was seriously late by the time I got there. But nonetheless, as I say, they couldn't have been more welcoming and couldn't have been more gratified before I left. I really felt I was on air, literally on air, because the likelihood of that ever happening was ridiculously slim. But Washington, D.C. itself is peculiar. And I say that as someone who used to live and go to school there and have visited annually since. It's a ghost town. The only people there are people of a security nature. We saw a huge group of bicyclists coming towards me, and I thought, well, at least there are people on bicycles. Turns out they were training people to bicycle for security. So these were even the bicyclists were for security purpose. So you could tell that there were two people who were the leaders who were training people, everyone was in uniform. So we eventually passed a housing project, and there were five people outside talking to one another, and still in all, the security was 2-1 over them. So even when we did see people in just a handful, And here they're endless. They've done so much building since the time I went to school there. So here are endless buildings, new buildings everywhere, and new housing everywhere. But where were the people? And Georgetown, I believe me when I say, to see a ghost town in Georgetown, you know, where the hub of nightlife is, you know, everybody was kind of closing up early because there was nobody there. There were
and we know why, because the evidence of treason by these criminals is so overwhelming now on so many fronts that they're very afraid of the people. Because the people may eventually get disgusted and say, we're not going to take this anymore. So that's the reason. And you have to wonder, what happened to all these poor homeless people? They probably offered them free flu vaccines, and now they're no more.
Well, I mean, to be in Washington and not see tourists is a first. I've never not seen tourists.
Okay.
There are so many colleges there. You should see at least the college students around. But
right.
Perhaps, as with every car we saw pulled over, they've been told, maybe, but this is in the middle of the day. I mean, where are the people in the middle of the day?
Right. Okay, there's the music. We're going to a break. Callers, if you have any questions, call in. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America with my special guest, Sally Alcordi. And as I always do, I have CNN on in the background while I'm doing the show. And they're showing different snippets from this dinner they had last night with the Hollywood elite and the journalists and Obama. And it's just so disgusting how all of these people are getting together to celebrate the corruption and fraud that's going on. And when you're talking about how Washington's basically dead, I don't know where this dinner occurred, but apparently they must be breaking down some roadblocks to have this event so that they can, you know, put forward to the public how they all have a sense of humor, which is disgusting. What is there to have a sense of humor about with everything that's going on?
I'll tell you, the new vaccine registry. Have you heard about that, the police state vaccine registry? Have you heard that they're stockpiling smallpox vaccines?
Well,
what about
I think
the H7N1 scare?
Yeah. Well, as soon as
and now they have a vaccine for autism.
What?
I did not hear that. Well, I just wanted to give you the latest since yesterday is this police state vaccine registry stockpiling smallpox, H7N1 scare, and the autism vaccine. Mm-hmm.
Well,
also,
I knew...
Rebecca, I have tried to get a billboard company to take your poster that shows all the diseases that result from vaccination.
Right.
And I can't get a billboard company to install it. I never said how much. I never tried to negotiate with them. I just said, this is what I want to do, you know?
Well, first of all, as soon as I heard about this H7N1, N9, whatever, I can't even remember all the numbers. As soon as I heard that they were, you know, promoting that as the next pandemic, I knew they would come out with a vaccine, and, of course, that will cause the pandemic. But a vaccine for autism? The sad thing is,
one of the autism parents said, there may be hope. I was like, oh, no. You think there's hope with a vaccine? Oh,
well, they're idiots. They're idiots.
Well,
and these people, I'm sorry, but if they're not going to do their research, you know, I have no pity for them at all. But this is par for the course. They're developing a vaccine for peanut allergies, which peanut allergies are caused by the peanut oil they're putting in vaccines. That's what they do. They cause a disease, and then they invent a vaccine for the disease, which is totally insane. But this is how these psychopaths operate, so we can't be surprised. But if you have any information on the vaccine for autism, please forward that to me because I will rip it to shreds.
I'll forward you all these links that I just discussed because I definitely want you to know of just what has transpired yesterday. That's just yesterday's news.
Right. Any idea what are they targeting? Since they say that autism is a genetic disease, of course, most genetic diseases are caused by vaccines to begin with, but what are they vaccinating against in this vaccine?
Well, if your child has autism, they have a vaccine for you. Let me send you the article. I really haven't had time to get into the fine points of it.
Okay. I can't wait to get that puppy. Okay, we have some callers lining up. Alex Hunter from Vancouver. Are you there, Alex?
Hi, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, I think it's excellent. We have brave women out there swinging away at the demons in an effort to protect their children and families from what is obviously an assault on humanity being perpetrated by those whose job it is to protect us. My children and I are sitting here talking about what happened to my son after he was force vaccinated, and he didn't want to come on the show and talk about it because he's already done it, number one, on your show, but number two, it's just really hard for him to articulate things after having it happen, so he sort of feels like stunted, like he has a really hard time communicating and articulating things that, usually anything nowadays. And there are many reasons for that, which I won't get into. I thought it was really awesome that when Sally was talking about the consequences that she's subject to, electronic censorship, sabotage, attack, etc., that she just blew right by it and didn't get into giving it any time, but rather that you guys are selfless and determined enough to just go right ahead and keep on and carrying the torch, irrespective of the consequences. And that's why we respect you so much and why we do it ourselves. And
this is Captain Chemtrails, my friend Alex Hunter, Rebecca
yes,
Carter.
Yes.
This is a very, very brave man.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks. I recognize
and let
efforts.
Me just say, I don't want to go into it in great detail because, it's a hard thing. Basically, yes, when you tell the truth, you get attacked. But Alex and his family have been attacked, and he keeps telling the truth. But what I try to get people to realize is if you're attacked, that means you're over the target, number one. And number two, you're already dead. And so stop being afraid of telling the truth because you're going to get attacked because you're going to be dead anyways. But go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I like that Sally's doing chemtrail activism as well, because these are some of the most important things that we're talking about, or, what's always covered on your show. And we go through her page. We know some of her friends, and they're tuned into the show as soon as we said Sally's on the show, and, oh, really? And, some of her friends tuned in, and that was through Facebook, which is remarkable it even worked, and Skype. So we just basically promote the show any way we can. We find we actually have to try to generate a conversation with people and then drop the advertisement. Otherwise, it just gets no hit, whereas it would be going off like a popcorn machine if it was unmolested.
Go ahead, Sally. Comment?
I didn't hear the last part of it. It would be what? It would be a what?
We actually have to initiate a conversation with someone and then drop the advertisement, like, say, Dr. Carly's on with Sally O'Elcordy right now, and in order to get them to recognize that we're advertising the show. Otherwise, it just gets algorithmically censored somehow, so the people aren't even seeing what we post in the groups and forums.
Oh,
and that
I
goes
see,
for all the, all the chemtrail forums, etc. But, we just keep going on. We just got to find more creative ways to do it. And right now I'm building a KC-135 Cadillac in my art studio and an anti-Pope mobile. And we have several cars at the ready. Just if something happens to these ones, we'll just get another one. I mean, we're just going to keep going out and doing activism. And we've got all kinds of things on the go that we're doing for the ITCCS with Kevin and Nat and our local chemtrail activists and people worldwide that are also sort of starting up chemtrail forums. And We should probably get one for the medical mafia, too. We should have something that shows what they're doing, because they're actually harming some of us in ways that we won't get into. And we should be exposing them every chance we get for everything they do. And, of course, that would be a full-time job in itself.
Well, I actually have a resolution against chemtrails for New York City in the hopper right now. Believe it or not, I have a very cool legislator in New York City who's working out with me on a multitude of issues, but I just gave her a tremendous amount of information. Of course, the most glaringly obvious issue is that we are funding this program. You know, the American taxpayer, I believe, is the one, but the Congress is approving the funding of the chemtrails. So if you don't know they exist by looking straight at them, know that funding has been approved in the billions of dollars to execute this plan.
Yeah, how ludicrous, how ridiculous that they're flying hundreds of thousands of flights a day worldwide while saying that we're contributing to global warming or any form of climate change and taxing us for it, collecting carbon credits, and making us pay for it. In so many different ways, like the increases on fuel and hydro costs, etc. It's just, it's ludicrous. It's insane. And that anyone even tolerates it, you know.
Well, I really appreciate you bringing that up, because I am constantly talking to people in the environmental movement about the fact that chemtrails is the largest threat to the environment. And as I had Dane Wigington on my show, who talked about the methane and how the chemtrails are the worst thing that could happen at this point. And it's 200 species going extinct a day, which is 10,000 times the rate of any previous time in history. I mean, this is huge. So it's really hard for me to concentrate on just one issue knowing this is happening, you know? So I'm glad you called in. I really am.
Well, thank you.
Well, let me just say, that's why I always say my show's What's Ailing America, but it's actually What's Ailing the World. I will never run out of answers to that question. But, of course, they're destroying everything, everything that matters. The planet, the people, we are going to go extinct. And, of course, one of the things that chemtrails is doing is spraying us with all kinds of nanoparticles of aluminum and other things that are making it almost impossible to grow crops. I myself have a number of, you know, little container gardens that I try to grow. It's not really happening, and it's self-evident to me that, especially now that Monsanto has developed seeds that are resistant to aluminum, obviously the people at the top know exactly what's going on. They're causing it, and then they come up with a solution, which is going to be more GMO and more destruction, etc. So, yeah, I'm very glad you called in, Alex. This is a very important topic.
That Hurricane Sandy was geoengineered, and I certainly called the governor and my senators and said, take that same technology and drive it directly out to sea and spare our people and our property and our nuclear facilities from the damage this is going to, you know, the havoc it will wreak. Needless to say, I was ignored, and there is absolutely no report on the damage to our nuclear facilities therefrom. Also with the Hurricane Irene, the same thing. Also with Hurricane Isaac, the same thing.
Yes.
And, of course, the fact that Monsanto has developed seeds that only grow, the only seeds that grow in the face of aluminum, well, that doesn't point to anything. And also the fact that people are betting on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, they're betting on the outcome of these storms because they've got foreknowledge.
Well, they're betting on the very companies that are causing the problem. Yes, I've covered this before. It's mind-boggling.
Alex Hunter, your children have been attacked because of your activism with forced vaccination. That upset me to such a level I could not respond to that. That upset me beyond word, Alex. And I just want you to know that you are a hero to me, Captain Chemtrail.
Thank you. Yeah, Jean Burgermeister said it was the worst case she'd ever heard. And but I've heard some really bad ones. I heard people were being held down, having their children taken away from them, and that they were being forced vaccinated. And the people
this
were
is
being
West Virginia. It's happening every day in West Virginia.
Yeah.
They're criminals now if they don't want the vaccine.
Yeah, so I don't think...
Their legislature voted it down, and the health commissioner overrode the legislature. So I said, you got to march on the governor. He appointed that health commissioner and said, 100% poison, you are poisoning your constituents. Said, you've got nothing to lose. Do it.
It was due to, like, we were able to call in to talk to Dr. Carley, and she told us some things we could do which would mitigate the symptoms after it happened. So we got him back to a certain percentage, but he's never been able to concentrate in school after that. As you can see, his history just went big downhill, like, you know, his marks and everything. And when I homeschooled him, we were doing better, but he went back into the public system again, and, you know, the marks are reflective of what's happened. And, you know, there's a clear trail that you can follow.
And the irony there is that they're dumbing down our kids so they can go to school. That makes sense.
Well, they're dumbing them down for obvious reasons, just like they said they were going to in the historical records throughout all their statements, policies, speeches, and all that. You know, they're basically, it's a, and you can look in the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which in my opinion is not a forgery. It's because it's all happening. You know, and everything they said they were going to do is happening. So, you know, but there are ways around, you can try and get your best foot forward, get your health and safety in as best a position as you can, and just keep swinging away. That's what we do. We don't run away and try and stay healthy. We just keep carrying the torch because we realize if we don't, we're dead anyway. And, you know, who'd want to live in a world with the world's most evil and ruthless people biotechnologically enslaving and killing whoever they want? You know, it's time to get up and get down. We shouldn't be doing anything but fighting back. I mean, we shouldn't even go home and eat supper. We should be out there doing everything we can right now. It's time.
Well, and the good news is, I just want to say the good news is more and more people are waking up. I was amazed see how many websites, blogs, and YouTubes were exposing this false flag in Boston. So it's happening. You know, people are getting it. They use the same master template. We can see what they're doing if you actually evaluate, you know, the evidence. So that's the good news. I just hope that the tipping point will happen before we're in total martial law and there's nothing we can do.
Well, I want to tell you what happened yesterday to me. When I got home, there was a policeman at my front door saying, keep your front door closed because there are burglars on the loose and a rapist. And then I closed the door, I went out back, and they were behind my house. Then I opened the door, and they were in front of my house. So he said, have you seen anything? He said, how are things? I said, things are great. He's like, well, if you see something, say something. And I'm like, I see a police officer at my door for no reason. That's what I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here in North Carolina where I live, the police officers are stopping women and raping them and things of that nature. The problem is that the people that are supposed to protect us are actually the perpetrators of crimes in many cases. And who are you going to report it to, you know?
I didn't feel that these men were criminals, but why aren't they at my front door, at my back door, at my front door? Every time I step out, and this has never happened in this neighborhood ever before.
All right. Well, Sally, I guess you're on the list. Welcome to the list. Okay, yeah. Thank you for calling in, Alex. We have another caller, Harvey. Hold on, Harvey. We'll get to you after the break. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America. My guest today has been Sally Elcordi. I want to bring on Harvey from Florida, but before I do, please mention your shows again, Sally,
on
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, it's the Mary and Sally Show, and Sally is spelled with an I-E at the end, and the other one is called Public Advocate. And that's also on Blog Talk. Thanks for allowing me to mention that. My blog is billiontoddlermarchforsurvival.blogspot.com.
Say that again?
Billion, with a B, billiontoddlermarchforsurvival.blogspot.com. And there are many actions you can take. I have laid out a multitude of actions anyone can take to ban vaccines in 2013. And, of course, you can contact me.
And people, please do something. If you do nothing, your silence is consent and you are aiding and abetting the genocide. And I can't say that strong enough. And you deserve whatever you reap. You will reap what you have sown. Doing nothing, going to the white coats, watch and see where that gets you. Okay, Harvey from Florida has been very patient. Are you there, Harvey?
Yep, I've been very patient. How are you doing, Dr. Carly?
Okay.
You and your guest, Sally. Do you remember how long ago it was that the drug companies were complaining that they can't manufacture the vaccines? They're having so much trouble. They need zero liability. They need the government to come in and protect them from any liability. Was that about 10, 12 years ago?
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court just upheld it about a year and a half ago. They upheld that.
And why would that be necessary if the vaccines were safe or effective?
What the Supreme Court said is they upheld it because they were afraid they would stop manufacturing vaccines.
Right.
Oh, that would be the best thing that ever happened.
Right.
And let me just say, there's only three things that are not covered by insurance. Acts of God, nuclear war, or vaccination. So that also tells a lot. Go ahead, Harvey.
Is that where I got that? I got that from you, Rebecca. I was wondering where I got that.
Yeah, you got that from me.
That was just the beginning. You know, now everything that these bastards do, they want protection from the government. But when they spy on us, they're going to have a clear zero liability. When Monsanto poisons us, they have zero liability under their new act that they presented to Congress and they rubber stamp. This is as sick as it gets. I mean, it's basically practicing witchcraft is what they're doing with these vaccines. And what we should
do
is burn them at the stake. Like, what's that?
Guess what they're doing in New York? We're going to have 3 days of contagion in our subways, non-consecutive days, so I guess they have to figure out which days we are to take the subway because they're going to have, I heard, anthrax. So then I heard...
They have to practice.
Right.
This is basically witchcraft, and it's time to take them and burn them at the stake like we did up in near Boston there years ago. This is serious... Serious criminality and witchcraft.
Or hang them from treason. The idea that anyone would have immunity for crimes against humanity is insane. Okay, thank you so much for calling in, Harvey. Very important point. And thank you so much, Sally, for all your work. And we'll be in constant contact. And don't forget to send me that autism vaccine article. I can't wait to read that puppy. Okay, folks.
You're my hero, Dr. Carly. You're my hero.
Okay, ditto. And we'll be back next week. Christina England will tell you how Hallmark is involved in vaccines. Bye-bye for now.